end of the service. And
I'm familiar with churches doing that. They once they start their worship, they want to keep it going. And there is this concept that stopping for an advertisement in the middle, announcements, okay, is like a break in that flow of your songs, your scriptures, your music specials, and so on. But they did. And just given in a normal manner, okay? Mm-hmm. It was big and everything, but it sounded just like any other church. They just put it at a different location. All right, Psalm 66. Because of the length of it, I'm not going to read the whole psalm first. But I'm going to highlight various things here. If I were to put a title to this, it would be Praying with Confidence. And I'll explain why I give it that title. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. You know, there's other scriptures that say make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I've heard that concept, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I've heard that taken and said, well, I can't sing very well, but I'll make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's not what it means. It means sing to the Lord. It's not talking at all about the ability of one to sing or not sing. If a person feels they can't sing very well, just shut up and sing anyway. You know? Now, if there's anybody ever here in our services and they stand up to sing and they say that, well, you know, I can't do very well, but the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord, so that's what I'll do. You know, just smile to yourself. Don't say anything to them afterwards. I won't either. But when the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord, it's talking about singing to God and praising God. And any singing that one does to the Lord is going to praise him. Just like the end of verse 2 says, make his praise glorious. We do that by singing. Okay, our opening song without a piano accompaniment. Now, it went a whole lot better than I thought it could, you know. But it was praise to the Lord. That's what he heard. He didn't hear this person who can't hold a tune or this one who was off on that phrase. No, that isn't how God operates. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. All ye lands. Oh, so this isn't just something for Jerusalem, for Israel. It's for all of us. Then look at verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. How terrible. And then look at it down in verse 5. Come and see the works of God, for he is terrible in his doing. Well, now, we know enough that when it says terrible there, it's not being used like we use the word terrible in our everyday English speaking, which is a very negative thing. It's something terrible. It's extra bad, okay? No. Whatever it means, we know it doesn't mean that, okay? Because God is not that. Well, I did what I do anymore. I really wouldn't need half my library because I just went online and went to Google and what does terrible mean in Psalm 66 verse 3? Up pops an answer. It means to have power, to have greatness. Or one site even said, awesome. That's what he's talking about. That fits, doesn't it, with the verse and what we would understand. Say unto God, how great and how powerful his works are. Of course. We knew it couldn't be when we say, oh man, I've got a terrible headache. Okay, that's a negative thing. We know it couldn't be that, but what could it be? Well, I just explained it. I just described it. And now, you have to use some common sense. If you're going to Google something like that, you know, according to what you read, does that fit with your overall understanding of the scriptures and of the context of the passage you're at? That's one reason why I hesitate. I like to help people know the sort of things that I do to find things so that if they don't understand or realize, then they know they can do that sort of thing. But the downside of it is if you, you know, Google something and find out, you know, and it misleads you. So you have to balance that with your general knowledge of the scripture and what the Bible would teach. And I think all of you as a Wednesday night crowd would have enough Bible smarts to understand that. Am I right? Of course I am. And the reason I say that is because I'm giving you credit, you know? Now, if it were a Sunday morning service, I'm not always sure of the folks that are more minimal in their attendance, not only to the Lord's house, but in their understanding of scriptures. In other words, I'm thinking more of you than maybe what you're thinking of yourself. But I'll still go that way, okay? Now, all the earth, verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. God expects the whole earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what he's saying there. Now verse 5. Come and see the works of God. Observe them. See what God does. He is awesome in his doing toward the children of men. And then he begins to describe some of that awesomeness. And he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Think about that. Selah. Think about that. Okay? And so, God, we see what's going on in the world today. Things are not looking good, just like this business in Israel. You know, I would not want to be in Netanyahu's position. He needs to do what he says he's going to do, and that is, as to whatever extent they can, eradicate Hamas. But at the same time, even of his own people, there are so many hostages. Can you imagine if we fought World War II the way the nations are expecting Israel to fight this war?
Right.
We'd have never won.
Right. That's right.
I mean, even the crazy place like the United Nations didn't raise question, well, or should you really be doing that bombing there in Berlin? Mm-hmm. You know? They just went about fighting a war. You say, but all the innocent people. Yes, that's the casualty of war.
Right.
You know, when I sat in my chair and I thought those thoughts, I asked myself, I talk to myself a lot lately because I don't have Pat to talk to. But I just thought to myself, what if that were to be coming to Olean? Knowing that on the east side, I have a daughter and her husband that live. What if there were to be bombing over there and I were to be in favor of the bombing as I am for Israel to wipe out Hamas? but it does mean that some innocent people are going to die. But my friends, sometimes that is what's needed for righteousness to prevail. Like I say, when we pray for Israel, we really need to pray for its leadership. I understood this afternoon as I was watching the news while I ate supper that the Israeli war cabinet was meeting our late afternoon. And they had to make decisions regarding extending suspension of things, this peace, the business, you know, for 2 more days. Well, obviously, Hamas is playing it. They know they hold the upper hand. They understand that even Netanyahu, with his own people, though if what we hear on the conservative news, if what we hear is true, the people of Israel support Netanyahu and his leadership to go in and eradicate Hamas. They understand that many of their people are still hostages. Now, I gotta get off of that, okay? I gotta get off. You know where I stand on that. You understand. All right, here where we at. He ruleth by his power forever, ever. His eyes behold the nations. Here it is. This is good. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Let not Hamas exalt itself. You say, well, now you're preaching politics. No. No, I'm not. This is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. This is an evil versus good thing. And if I read here, it says, God says, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. God is going to level things out. Oh, I can't wait for that time. Okay, and it's going to come before Jesus sits on the throne of David. It won't take much for him to put things in equal footing. All right, verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Would it not be good if we would be able to read ourselves into that? Thou, O God, hast proved us. He's proving us. How are we ending up? When he proves us, how do we turn out? Verse 11, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou hast laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. That's what God did. These things that are happening in the world, how much is it the reactions and the cause of men? And how much of it is the things that God is bringing to be, so that man will give attention to God. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, we went through fire and through water. See it? But, you can circle but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now, wealthy there, don't just think about finances, okay? Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Then verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. God deserves our surrender. God deserves our submission. God deserves our giving to Him. We don't do burnt offerings today. We have no altar that we bring an animal or turtle dove to sacrifice on, but we can bring our offerings to God. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. Ooh, okay. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. So things that we have told God we would do, things that we have said to God, He says, now it's time to pay up. I like to put it this way. When it comes to things that you would say to God, pay up or shut up. Okay? Don't say them if you're not going to pay them. Don't make promises to God if you're not going to keep them. Because He'll hold us. He'll hold us. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. And of course, as we study the various sacrifices, we understand what those things mean and what their place is in the Levitical system. We don't live in the Levitical system, but we live in a system of surrender to the Lord. I will offer bullocks with goats. Now, here we come to the part I want. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Now he's talking to all of us. Come and hear. Sit up and listen. God has something to say if you fear Him. I will declare what He hath done for my soul. What has He done for our soul? He sent Jesus Christ to die for us, didn't He? Sure He did. Jesus died on the cross, suffered for us. I saw a picture on Facebook, and it talked about, it was a double picture. One half of it was the season, and then it showed Mary at the manger with the baby Jesus. And the other half of the picture showed her, and I know this is not the way it happened, but it shows the other half of the picture with Mary holding her son, beaten, bloodied, scarred. That's what happened. He came, as we commemorate at Christmas time, and you know that He came to die on the cross. I know who I'm talking to. I understand you know that. But that is indeed what happened. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Pleased. It was appropriate that David did cry unto Him with his mouth. So verse 17 to 20, I have listed as in two parts here. One, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled. That extolled Him. With my tongue, I lifted Him up. And then the second part is in verse 18. Now we're familiar with this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now remember, I said the title of this message is Praying with Confidence. And we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, if we will have a disobedience and sin in our heart, it will prevent us from receiving from God the things for which we pray. Now we know that. You're the Wednesday night crowd. You know that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here's the confidence part. The next verse. But verily, God hath heard me. Now, David knew that if he regarded iniquity in his heart, God wasn't going to hear him. You and I know that. You and I also have to know what he said in verse 19. David said, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That's where the confidence in praying comes. Listen, folks, we know sin will keep us from getting answers to prayer. And the devil would like us to get stuck there. The devil is delighted when you go no further in the passage. He's delighted when we stop at it regards iniquity in my heart. Now remember who we're talking about. We're talking about David. David had a few sins in his life, didn't he? You better believe he did. But he was able in his relationship with God Almighty to progress to a point and an experience in his life where they did not hinder his praying. I think there's many reasons why we may not have power in prayer, but I think this is for certain one of them. We have left the devil dupe us into not expecting answers to prayer because of things that we know are in our life. Things that we know are wrong. Well, just confess it and get over it. Confess it and get on with it. And listen, we live in the New Testament. Therefore, we don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes. You confess it to the Lord? Did you mean it? When you confessed it to the Lord, were you sincere in your heart? Well, then, he said if we confess our sin, he is faithful and maybe will cleanse us. No. Let's begin to believe what we say we believe. If we confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive us and he'll cleanse us. You say, well, I did it before, but I went back to it. Boy, why do you cooperate with the devil? Just confess it and move on. I mean, what if David had said, oh, well, but there's Bathsheba, and here's this, who was it, Solomon? Here's this boy that came out of that, and I don't know if God would ever hear me again. Well, he tells us he did. And if there was going to be iniquity in a heart, David had plenty of it. But he was able to move on to a position that he could pray with confidence. I'm not going to let the devil defeat me. You say, well, what if you're mistaken? I'm going to let God sort that out. Okay? And if I'm wrong, God is able to remind me. He's able to grab me by the scruff of the neck and say, Roger, you haven't dealt with this like you think you did. I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt, not the devil. Okay? But verily God hath heard me. He goes on and he emphasizes it. He hath. Okay? He hath. I mean, this is something he did. And if the TH emphasis is the continuing emphasis, he did it and he's continuing to hear me. He hath. He did attend to the voice of my prayer. He did hear it. And he continues to hear it. Amen. Let's live in victory. Why live in defeat? You say, oh, well, I'm just a weak person. Well, do some exercises in godliness and get some strength. I get tired of this mentality of I can't do it. This mentality of forever. Woe is me. Woe is me. Praise the Lord. No, you're not praising the Lord. Just give up on what you think and take God at his word.
Amen.
Oh, just let, you're carrying that big bag of burdens. Okay, now I don't remember with the Pilgrim's Progress, okay, who was the guy carrying the bag, you know, I don't remember how all that is, but just let that bag of problems go. You got God on your side. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Listen, tonight, sometimes before I watch TV, sometimes it's after I watch TV. I don't know how it determines which, okay? But I'm going to pray. I'll have a time of prayer. That's usually about a half an hour, sometimes more, okay? The amount of, the length of time isn't the key thing. I just wanted you to know it isn't just a two-minute ditty, okay? And so I'll have prayer time, and he attends to my voice. And there's times as I'm praying, something comes to mind that I need to deal with in Roger Hayne. Now listen, Roger Hayne himself doesn't think of his problems. Okay? My old nature, like your old nature, will be able to cover them over fairly well. But God won't let me. Amen. Praise God for his faithfulness. So he brings something to mind, then I have to deal with it. Now listen, there I am, sitting in my easy chair, I'm praying. He brings something to mind. Now, I know it's real, it's genuine in me, and I ask him to forgive that. I do, I just say, Lord, must be you wanted me to be aware of this, because I hadn't thought about it before. But it's certainly not something good. So forgive me and help me to not think that way, or help me to not act that way, or whatever fits.
Yeah.
And Lord, I'll thank you for doing that. I mean, that's it. He made me aware of it. I sincerely confessed it. And he said he'd forgive. Now that's it. It's done. I want to use as an illustration, Pastor. I remember he said already with the boys as they were growing up, and he said this already to Randy when he came into the house. And that is, if there was something that they did wrong, he would take them to task for it. He would rebuke them about it. And then he says, and then when that was done, I remember he said this regarding Randy. He explained to Randy, all right, Randy, that's it. Now we've talked about it, and I've rebuked you, and now it's done. You won't hear any more about it. Do you think our Father in heaven would act the way so many parents act, to keep bringing it up? Next time you do something wrong, this is just like last week. I told you last week.
Right.
And then a month later, something goes on, and hey, didn't I tell you a month ago? No. I think Pastor's approach to that is an excellent demonstration of how God is when he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, and then that's it. And so, that's it. When I pray, and that boy, now I wonder what's going to come. Maybe in tonight's prayer, okay? It might be another night, but something will come up and he'll hit me with it. All right, Lord. But once I confess it, then that's it. I just consider it over.
Good.
I'm not going to dwell on it. I got enough things to deal with. I don't need to deal with things that he said he's going to take care of. So there it is. Now, the last verse, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Confidence in praying. Blessed be God, which hath not, that's what David said, God did not turn away his prayer. Was David that much more holy than you? Oh, that was David. Listen, David put his robe on one leg at a time. Okay? He was a man just like we are. He had all of the frailties of man just like we have. I mean, after all, he knew better than to go up on the roof and see Bathsheba and get his binoculars out. You didn't know they had binoculars, did you? Yeah. You see, all that he did, it was just very old nature. And his old nature was no different than your old nature. And God's way is just as effective in us as it was in David. Listen, we put Paul up on the pedestal. Who else? Matthew up on a pedestal. We put all of these men on little pedestals as if they were, you know, we treat them like Catholics treat them.
Uh-oh.
We do. Catholics made saints out of them. Sinless people. And that's what we do. Oh, not the way they do it. But if in our mind we think somehow we cannot attain and achieve what they did, if somehow we think we can't live what David's telling us there, then we've done the same thing. We've done the same thing. Here we are, good independent Baptists. We act like Catholics. Okay. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah, right.
No more.
Amen. Thank you. That's good.
Father in heaven, I do pray you'd help us. Help us to take, help me to take this in and not to let the devil defeat me. Now, you know, Lord, he's going to look for a way that he can do that. If for no more than the fact that I've shared what I did tonight, Lord, I believe that I live in victory because of Jesus. Thank you.